Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. I did a little bit of role reversal this weekend, Carter. I didn't watch the Cavs. I was about 3 hours outside the city, braving Arctic colds, and I missed out on some Cavs basketball, and I was pretty heartbroken when I saw that Jetty Osman had hurt his ankle. I wanted to be there to donate mine. How's it going, man?
I'm not proud to say that. I thought you were about to say I tried a little role play this weekend.
Well, maybe. Who knows?
Well, you know.
Yeah, I was role playing as a married man, and
as someone who is trying to be warm.
Yeah.
It's not super bad. The Cavs, you know, they couldn't win three in a row, but who expected that? We got to see Luka cook our boy over and over and over again. And one of your countrymen is on the Cavs now, and we should probably start there, right?
Yes, we should. We will no longer have to talk about Rodney Hood on this podcast. I guess this will be the last one of that, in all likelihood, unless he does something really hilarious, which I guess there is the possibility of that. I was listening to the Blazers Edge podcast, and they were talking about, well, obviously he's not going to play the two because CJ's here, so he's big enough to play the three. He can probably defend there. I was looking at his percentiles, and he's very good as a spot-up shooter and dribble handoffs. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I know those percentiles are good, but that doesn't tell you that the number of open threes he will pass up to dribble for 8 seconds. There were so many things that really reminded me of our post trade deadline talks last year that it was really a triggering experience to go over.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of people think the biggest liar in the country, depending on your, you know, political proclivities, is Donald Trump. But actually, Justin, I don't know if you knew this, it's actually a Rodney Hood synergy page. Because it looks pretty good. And it isn't. It isn't, I promise.
Yeah,
a couple episodes I did kind of speculate that I would be okay with a return in a Rodney Hood trade being a ham sandwich because I just didn't want him on the team anymore. And I think we got a little bit better than that. We got the Cavs picked up our boy Sauce Castillo, Nick Stauskas. They picked up Wade Baldwin, who is not a good player, and we don't really probably ever have to think about him long term. And two second round picks in 2021 and 2023. And I think we kind of have to start with the asset collection part of this, because I think Woj noted that the Cavs have traded for 7 draft selections this season in exchange for Rodney Hood. What do you?
You want to talk about draft assets? You want to talk draft assets when we added the legend, Sauce Castillo. We no longer have to worry about someone spotting up in the corner, getting an open shot, and going dribbling. He's going to take the shot. He's not going to make them at a high clip, but my God, he's going to take them, Carter. You better believe in Nick Stauskas. We have doubled the number of Canadians on this team, and we're going to triple it this summer. I believe in the Cavs. I believe in Sauce Castillo. Now go ahead and talk about your damn draft picks.
We have to talk about this because you've done this before. First off, that was very funny, and I'd like to, you know, I want to give credit where it's due. You know, you don't pronounce the L's, right?
I realized that midway through, and then I'm like, I just have to commit to this pronunciation.
Because, you know, Justin, I don't know if you took any Spanish in school, but yeah, the double L is not an L sound.
Carter, here's the thing. Okay. Who, listeners of the podcast, I need to know, who are you going to believe on Spanish pronunciation? Someone with the last name Rowan or a Rodriguez?
Well, I mean, honestly, I barely speak any Spanish, so it's normally up for debate, but on this one, it's not. I actually, you know, let's start on Stauskas. Let's start on your boy, because he sucks, but in a way that's kind of fun sometimes, and Rodney Hood is decent in a way that's never fun. So I think technically the Cavs upgraded in terms of their watchability. Your thoughts?
I think so too. As I said, he's just going to take shots. Like that, that's what he's here to do. He's not really going to be confused about his role. He's a really, really beloved kind of locker room presence. Like guys enjoy being around him. He's obviously faced a lot of adversity. I think people expected him to be a lot better than he's been. I wasn't super, super high on him, but he was somebody that I thought was going to be better than he's been because I just always expected him to at least be able to shoot. I
don't know. He goes through stretches. He's just a little bit streaky. Isn't that fair?
Right, right. He's absolutely a rhythm shooter. And, I mean, obviously not a good defender. He'll fit right in there.
He's among the worst.
Yeah,
he's just defenders I've ever seen.
He's going to get more consistent minutes, and honestly, down the stretch, like I could see him kind of endearing himself. There's obviously going to be a connection between him and Tristan there. The amount of time they spent together on the national team. Kevin Love's going to be back soon, which I'm sure we'll be talking about in just a moment. But when you have him out there spotting up, Alec Burks will be gone. Kevin Love will be out there. Jetty's been shooting better lately. I just think it makes more sense. I mean, he's not a good player, but at least the theory behind him is kind of more sound. And
yeah, guys guard him.
Yeah, just run a regular.
They don't want to leave him open. If nothing else, like it doesn't really matter how much he gives up on the other end at this point because this defense is unsalvageable.
Right.
So you might as well just lean in and say, well, at least Sexton can run a goddamn spread pick and roll now.
Here's my prediction for Stauskas. I think he's somebody that is going to go unsigned for a good portion of the summer. And then if the Cavs are looking to fill out the roster, they'll just bring him back. I think he'll kind of endear himself to the organization enough to get some consideration if they're looking for like a 12th, 13th man. So he's nothing to really get excited about, obviously. The real asset is the two picks, which I do think 2 seconds for Rodney Hood is good value.
It's a good return.
Yeah, it's a good return. Even, again, listening to the Blazers Edge podcast, they're like, it was probably a little bit of an overpay for Rodney Hood, but look at these synergy numbers. for a guy that the Cavs obviously had no interest in bringing back.
Well, the Cavs heading into the season were looking at if their first overall pick owed to the Hawks doesn't convey this season, it's not, by the way, or next season, it's likely not, by the way, it will turn into 2 second round picks, I think in 2022 and 2021 and 2022. And that would mean that the Cavs wouldn't have a second rounder until 2023 because of prior trades. You know, you forget about how many of those little seconds you throw in to finish up deals during the LeBron era, but the Cavs kind of need those kinds of picks just to take flyers on guys. Right. Even if, you know, second round picks don't succeed at a super high level, getting some restocking the war chest in any way is kind of helpful. And for a guy like Rodney Hood, who has not been a good Cavalier at all, and on an expiring deal where he has a no trade and has to waive his bird rights, to get 2 seconds for him is, you know, that's quite all right. I think everyone's going to be, I don't think anyone's going to be unhappy with that kind of deal for the Cavs. And clearly they're not done either. So I'm interested to see. I mean, I think Alec Burks is considered a little bit of a friendlier trade chip. I mean, you hear the rumors that teams have been talking to the Cavs since they made the trade.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe they can get another couple seconds or maybe a young piece from a team. It doesn't appear that they want to take on long-term salary, which I'd love to talk about, Justin.
Right, right.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
But before we get into that, I do think I agree with your assessment that I think Burks is a more attractive asset. I think one indicator of that is the deadline is still a few days away and we haven't traded him. I think Rodney Hood, they just moved him as soon as they got a good offer. Whereas Burks, I think they're going to continue shopping it until kind of right up to the deadline where they get a good sense of what the best offer is going to be for him. Because I do think that there's going to be multiple suitors interested in him. And the fact that they've taken Hill, Korver, and Hood and turned them into 6 second-round picks and 1 first-round pick when, as you mentioned, they just had almost none coming into this year, I think that's really good from an asset management standpoint. And you still have additional assets that you might get in return for them, because you still have Burks and Henson that are sitting there on contracts that might have some value at some point here.
I still feel like Henson and Deli are going to be moved next year.
Yeah, no, I don't think moved
at all.
I don't think Henson's going to be moved to kind of clarify my point there, but it's still an asset that you can move at some point.
For sure.
But yeah, so the reporting at least from Brian Windhorst is that the Cavs don't want to take on salary beyond next season unless it was for a really good return. So they're still interested. They're still looking to take on contracts like Chandler Parsons, Nick Batum, but in order to get or to acquire someone that has that bad of a contract, they'd be looking for a first round pick or a prospect that's actually worth caring about. I don't think that's going to be the type of deal where you see them just get a couple second round picks as compensation. I think it would actually have to be a pretty significant move for them to do that.
Yeah, I think so. I just hope they're willing, you know. I mean, if you can talk, not just willing to take it on, but actively looking to take those deals on, you know, if you can throw Charlotte a life raft, if you can get like a top five protected first out of that team, especially this year, because I think the Cavs really, they've done well on their asset acquisitions so far, I think. I think some people were a little surprised about how protected the first for Hill was, given the cap savings they gave the Bucks. But I think they've done pretty well. But almost none of these picks are coming anytime soon,
right? And none of them
really could use a fresh infusion of talent. I don't think their next incoming second round. They won't have a second round in 2019 right now. Their next second rounder is in 2020 from Utah. So, and they've got two in 2021, one in 2022, and then one in 2023. But like nothing's like they have one pick that they're expected to add to the team right now in this upcoming draft. And, you know, that's fine. They're big game hunting. Like they want to add a superstar level talent, but like, adding nice picks in the first round is kind of how good teams get built when they don't have the best player in the world that just kind of stumbles back in.
Right.
So I'd really like to see them chase like the 13th overall pick in exchange for a really, really bad contract. You know, I think some of these teams are going to start getting desperate. It's obviously disappointing that the Knicks are off the board in that front, but there are takers if you look hard enough and swallow a bad enough pill. It's just, I just don't see the value in holding and protecting any cap space moving forward.
Right.
Unless you're going to take on other deals. Like who's
right.
coming?
Well, I think that's some of it. I think they want to at least have some flexibility to build out a roster in the event that whoever you take in this draft ends up being a really good player. And let's say the best case scenario kind of unravels there. The other thing is, I think those type of deals where you're taking on a bad contract for, let's say, the 13th pick, as you said, I think that's the type of thing that kind of materializes closer to the actual draft than at the trade deadline. When teams kind of have a little bit better of an idea of where they're standing, what their summer plans are, whether or not a player that they wanted is available at pick 13. I think that would kind of be where you'd see the Cavs strike there. And maybe that's where the JR contract comes
in. Yeah, the JR contract. Have you kind of noticed that people seem to they seem to talk about it like, okay, if it doesn't get done here, they might waive him. And it's like his contract has more value than ever in the offseason.
Yeah, and that's something when you talk about that too, where it's going to have the most value right between the draft and free agency. And then
day one of the new league year, because then you should, I guess, no, you need to trade him. When can you trade him? Is it before July 1 for his old contract?
Correct.
Okay, so before July, it's a partial guarantee. It's not like that at all. They can trade him whenever, as long as it's not after the guarantee date.
Correct, so, which I think is like the second week of July.
Okay. So that feels like when they're going to move JR, because no one just wants to pay him like $8 million a year just to sit, unless it's a contender that's lying to themselves, which I'm cool with.
Yeah, there are certainly a lot of those. And who knows, maybe the Lakers, after they make a trade for Anthony Davis, they'll need to round out the roster with Carmelo Anthony and J.R. Smith.
I'll tell you what, man, I have a crisp J.R. Smith gently used in exchange for Solomon Hill's salary in another first rounder.
There you go. We need to get a Lakers first rounder. Well, I guess they're probably going to give up like 3 or 4 for Davis, but
yeah, they might give up 2. We might be picking up a first in 2025, but if it's for JR, I'll take it.
I was going to say, I want it after LeBron can opt out and leave, because yeah. that's where you really want to get it. And Magic's not going to be responsible enough to protect it. So I'm all for that, especially with Rich Paul running the show there.
Hard co-sign. It's really interesting. It does feel like Burks is going to be moved. Do you see anyone else on the team in a surprise deal where we're like, whoa, they're asking about, they're talking about him? Because I kind of don't. Maybe Clarkson. You could talk me into Clarkson, but I would be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I'm basing this off nothing, so I'll continue talking out of my ass. But
yeah, I'd say there's like speculating. A 20%
chance that like Clarkson gets moved. Which might be high, but I do see that maybe somebody's going to talk themselves into him. Because, I mean, you look at Clarkson, yes, he's putting up good numbers on a bad team again. But he kind of operates outside of the context of any team. Like, he's going to do what he does no matter what the situation is. The only exception to that has been the playoffs last year. But when you look at it, he was really good for the Cavs in the regular season. So... I it wouldn't stun me to see them move him. Obviously, I'd love to get off that money potentially. But at the same time, like, I think that would kind of hurt the watchability of the Cavs unless Kevin Love is staying healthy and is staying in the lineup for the rest of the year, because he's as on and off as he can be. He's one of the few entertaining players on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I agree with that. Ideally, you kind of want him... I mean, if anyone offers you anything of value, you do it. But his contract isn't that friendly for that. And I don't know. It just doesn't feel like anyone's interested, you know? Teams would trade for a guy like that for a late playoff run.
Right.
And we just watched him shit all over himself in the playoffs. So
people tend to remember that.
So I don't really see... I kind of can't believe anyone wanted Hood either for that reason. It's like... We just watched.
Well, Portland's used to shitting all over themselves come playoffs, so if it's well.
Good point. It just doesn't feel like anyone's going to take the chance given his salary, given that it extends into next year. But, you know, I've been wrong before, and it just takes one team. I don't think we're going to hear Kevin Love's name mentioned once.
No. This might age very, very poorly. And a bit of a housekeeping note, we won't be recording Wednesday night. We're going to wait until after the deadline to podcast. This might age very, very poorly, but I say there's almost no chance that Kevin Love gets traded. I'd be absolutely stunned by that.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he's moved. If you did have to put a percentage on Burks being dealt, what would you set it at? Because I actually think it's like 98%.
Yeah, and I was very, very convinced Hood was going to be moved. I'm even more convinced Burks is going to be moved. I think even Barden has said it's basically a lock, which, I mean, it's not like he's around the team a lot, but still, I think word around the league is that Burks is definitely going to be moved, and I'm just curious to see what it's going to be. Like, especially with
it
like...
It kind of depends on what's coming back, right? Because, like, the Cavs didn't take anything off of Portland other than open up a roster spot for them, which I think they wanted.
Right.
You kind of get that sense from Blazers Twitter.
But what I wouldn't be shocked
on a
by,
bad contract.
What I wouldn't be shocked by, because they have been linked to the Raptors a fair amount here, the type of thing I could see is Toronto giving up a couple seconds if they flip Norman Powell for Burks. Because I think they want to free up a little bit of flexibility, and Powell's one of their few contracts that actually goes beyond the next year.
I would love a shot at Norman Powell.
Me too. Like, that's the type of player that I'd love to kind of take a chance on. And I know we're in the kind of asset accumulation stage here. But if you could get like a second round pick and Powell, who's at least worth kind of keeping an eye on, to me, that'd be a little exciting.
Yeah. And it makes the team a little more watchable in the meantime. But I think that is going to change soon because Kevin Love is going to be back before the All-Star break, maybe.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, it's nice to see Dave Nwaba back. Obviously I didn't actually see it cause I missed the game. But I've missed having Nwaba in the lineup and I'm excited to watch him moving forward. Kevin Love participating in 5-on-5 contact practice. That's a great sign. All indications seem to be that he's been killing it there and they're just being as careful as possible. And then Tristan Thompson's going to be coming back. His return date was set for Friday, so right after the deadline. There's another guy I don't think is going to be moved, but it's going to be a dramatic difference if all of a sudden you have Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love starting next to each other. Like, even if there's rust, that just brings a level of competence that we haven't really seen a ton of.
So people are going to be mad, aren't they? Because Love is going to win them enough games to knock them all the way to fourth in the odds.
Right.
They're and half a game. New York and Phoenix are tied, or roughly tied. They're the same amount of games back. New York has one less win, one less loss, but they're technically number one right now. If the Cavs fall to four, that's where you kind of start to feel it, given the new odds, down to a 12.5 chance.
We spent all year being like, oh, man, it doesn't matter how much losing we do. All these teams keep jumping every time I run a simulator. It's just such an even odds. And the intention of this is it doesn't matter if you're winning. And then we're just going to double back and be like, man, we're losing too much. I mean, at the end of the day, if it's a 1% chance difference,
I'd rather watch some fun games.
I'd rather watch some fun games too, because at the end of the day, I understand that you can fall further back, but like the second tier after like Zion and RJ goes from like 3 to 8. Like you can still get someone like Nazir Little if you fall far back. They're not going to be franchise changers at that point. Like Zion is basically the only lock for that. I think.
Sorry about that.
Good Lord. I'm assuming that was in agreement with Zion being the only sure franchise changer. And then I think RJ has that potential. Morant would be a lot of fun. Cam Reddish would be fun. Little would be fun. And there's some other guys that are kind of jumping into there. But I just think if you basically have the same odds at the top two picks, it doesn't matter how much further you fall back.
Like, that's fair. And they're not falling further than Atlanta anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Though I swear to God, if we get a guy named Jackson Hayes, who I'm pretty sure was the name of Bradley Cooper's character in A Star Is Born, I'm going to be sad.
I finally watched that on this.
It's good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. That's good.
It's a movie that does nothing that is particularly like genre breaking, but it's good, so who cares?
Yeah, I thought the pacing was a little fast.
There were some. I mean, it's not a perfect movie. I just thought it was a really good popcorn movie, like good at the theater. It's that.
Yeah,
everyone in the crowd was in. I don't really know if it's a Best Picture winner, but I thought it was fun time.
Yeah, and there's our ad read for the week.
Yeah, to be clear, well, they're not paying us, but if they want to, they'll be my Oscar pick.
Yeah, I want that Gaga money.
No moral compass whatsoever. But anyway, so Love's going to be back soon. Stauss is going to be back. What do you think the starting lineup looks like after the deadline?
I think the starting lineup, assuming that Jetty's going to be healthy, I'm just going to go out and predict it. I'm going to go Sexton, Nwaba, Jetty, Love, Tristan.
I think so too. And I actually think that's a lineup that gives the Cavs as close to a chance to compete as possible.
It made me think a little more than I, I was like, man, who is going to be the shooting guard? I almost said Stauskas.
Yeah, well, I think they'll actually technically be Jetty. I think they'll put Nwaba on the bigger dudes. If your position is who you guard, I think the bigger wings are who Nwaba is going to take on, unless there's like a shutdown opportunity, in which case.
And my God, does Jetty need the worst that?
Point. Yeah, he is. Doncic really gave him the business a couple days ago, but you know that's the way it goes. But Nwaba is just one of the few guys who makes winning plays on this team. You could maybe talk me into Sauce getting a few starts here and there over Nwaba,
especially if he gets hurt again.
Yeah, and just given that you know Stauskas can at least shoot, and I just kind of want to see Sexton play with some spacing for, you know, a few games at least, just be able to run some pick and roll with Tristan with three shooters spotting up, be able to run a little pick and pop and some dribble handoff actions with Love at the elbow. That's all stuff they just haven't gotten to do. He hasn't gotten to do everything about, I mean, he's been disappointing as of late, in my opinion, but
yeah,
we also haven't gotten to see him in a context in which he can succeed. So if the Cavs at least can put him in position to do that on one end of the ball and at least give him some room to grow, that's kind of my preference. But, you know, yeah, right now it's tough sledding.
Yeah, I'm just past the point of, like, piling on to Sexton. Like, we know he's in a bad situation. It's not going to turn around until, one, he has kind of more of a team that makes sense around him. And gives him an opportunity to succeed. And I think the main thing is also just going to be the summer. Like, I think people that every time he makes a mistake are just jumping on it like, oh, my God, look at what Sexton did now. I can't see him panning out as a good player. Like, yes, I'm pessimistic with him, but I just think that it's a little bit excessive at this point.
It is. I just think people are disappointed. You know, some people are definitely doing their captain hindsights. They should have drafted SGA, who, by the way, is kind of hurting the Clippers offense when he plays right now because he can't shoot.
Carter, but, don't make me play the anthem again. Continue.
Oh, yeah. Forgot. That's going to fall on deaf ears. But point is, it wasn't an easy call. A lot of the best guys were off the board. But, yeah, it still just stinks when your guy isn't playing well, and he hasn't been playing well. So oftentimes has been hurting them in kind of the games they are competitive in. But that's kind of what happens when you draft a project and then give him very little infrastructure. I still think he needs to get minutes. He needs to keep learning. Ideally, he'll have a coach that's awake next year. And hopefully he'll have a chance to grow, and if not, then we'll know pretty quick, I think. Yeah.
Think
the jump from year one to year two is going to be really important for him. But in the meantime, being able to give him a little space to succeed would be nice. Because right now he's been playing in really crunched lineups with very little opportunity for success.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I don't think that his presence should change who the Cavs are going to draft. Like, if Morant is available and Zion and RJ are off the board, like, that's the guy I'd like to go with. Because I mean, no matter what, we're in such a positionless age in the NBA, and you're going to need supplemental playmaking around him, even if he does develop as a passer. So that's not really going to stop me. And in all likelihood, again, if he ended up being a really good sixth man, that would be an above average outcome for that position in the draft. So,
yeah, I'm not really worried about his role in the Cavs. I just want him to figure out how to be a good player first. I'll figure out how to use him once he gets good.
Exactly. You know? And that's what the Cavs are at. Like, they need to just add as much talent as possible,
which is why they need to buy a mid first round pick, Justin.
Okay. I agree. I get the theory behind it, but we don't know of any teams that are offering up
a really bad contract
and have that asset. So
I'm just saying they should be shopping and should not be avoiding taking on long-term money.
For sure. No, I definitely agree with that. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think this is going to be a really wild couple of days heading up to the deadline.
What if just nothing happens? It's kind of possible.
Nothing would be a really funny outcome. I'll give you that.
Yeah. We'll talk more about, like, I guess, you know, we should hit on it before, because our next pod is going to be Thursday, where we won't be able to kind of react to any of the speculation. We should hit some league-wide stuff. It certainly feels to me that this Lakers deal is done or close to done to get Davis. But is there a funnier outcome, Justin, than them swerving them at the last minute with some rando trade?
I mean, that's the real thing. So I know a lot of people have advocated for the Suns to wait until the summer, and in a lot of ways that makes a ton of sense, because then you can figure out where everybody's drafting and how high the picks are going to be. I do think the Lakers offer that was offered now makes a lot of sense. It's a legitimate offer at the very least. It's possible that they could do better. But I agree with your assessment that it seems like this is very close to being a done deal, and they probably just need a third team to help them get 15 contracts on every team by the time the smoke clears. But I mean, the Pelicans are in this position where they're losing Anthony Davis because of incompetence. So for that reason, I can see things falling apart. I can see them trading them to another Anthony Davis to another team. Someone just being a complete wild card there. The one thing that would make it interesting is because there was the rumor of Phoenix being involved. And if Phoenix is giving up like Mikal Bridges, if not their pick this year, then a future pick, a unprotected first round pick or something to actually get the assets to get this deal over the finish line, that would be really something, because we've seen LeBron play the agent angle. We've seen him play the media angle. But his buddy James Jones is the GM in Phoenix, helping get this deal across the goal line would really be something.
This is, in a lot of ways, been a masterclass of manipulation from a guy who the running joke from Warriors Twitter mostly, but I think it's been a little more pervasive than that. It's like trolling, like Sam and Andy spoke it into existence, like the nobody wants to play with LeBron game. they like spoke that narrative into existence in a lot of ways. And like, there's just been a masterclass in the, I fucking got this, guys.
Yeah.
I still got it. I still know how to like pull the right strings, and I'm not bowing to any other organization. And
by
I'm
the way, those two assholes, Sam and Andy, the fact that they are really cheering for Anthony Davis to go to the Lakers, because that gives them in their minds a better chance of KD staying with the Warriors, is really light year stuff.
Oh, it's fascinating. And they don't even, it's funny because I think they genuinely alternate between believing their bullshit and then like acknowledging their bullshit.
Part of me would really enjoy like them thinking that KD's still going to the Knicks, super team forming in LA, and them being like, well, you can't expect Steph to beat this team. Look, it's unfair. The Lakers ruined the league.
You know what they're not going to be ashamed about at all? That.
they'll just
blame Kerr. That's the easiest way to succeed on Warriors Twitter, is blame their amazing head coach.
And then when he gets fired, we can scoop him up. I mean, at that point, we'll have Stackhouse or
did you just
or
hear Luke. That, by the way?
What's that?
Did you just hear that? My dog just collapsed into his cage and like let the loudest groan I've ever heard. He's like, "Murr." It's like a whale.
But I'm always here for a Todd update.
Oh, well, he's just been panting like a moron 2 inches from the mic for the last like 20 minutes. So I'm sure our listeners are going to hate it.
By the way, congratulations on the house now that
David. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm a homeowner, guys. It's exhausting. I regret it, but it's also kind of nice. So there's that.
That is a really good summary of the feelings that go into buying a house. No matter how much you love it, you're like,
I'm just exhausted. I just
hate everything.
You know what I want, Justin? I want to just be an old man living in a condo. That's what I want to be. I want to skip all the home ownership parts and just like have someone else do stuff for me.
I was really happy. I think I found a nice balance with the townhouse thing where I have like people that are like taking care of the property maintenance and crap like
that. Oh, that's so nice. Dude, I'm not looking forward to mowing lawns.
Ugh.
That's not me. Come on.
I miss I would like to have like a garage and my workbench and stuff like that, but I just don't.
I have a shed and you've never met a person less qualified to own a shed.
Oh man, I want to go to your place and deck out your shed.
Oh,
I'm going to rock your shed, baby.
Oh man. Yeah, it's nice. But no, it really has been interesting from Bron to pivot back. It feels like Rich Paul has owned this league so much. But what I don't get, Justin, is that simultaneously Rich Kleiman is also owning this shit. It's just in a real rich, heavy league right now, because Paul is actively deterring AD away from Boston because Kleiman is pushing KD and Kyrie to New York. And it's just like the whole league is in complete limbo.
It's a real rich get richer situation.
Fuck you. I just think that's the chaos is actually why I think that if AD doesn't go to the Lakers, it's going to be completely out of left field team.
Yeah,
that would be fun. Because it just feels like someone's going to say, you know what? No one knows what's happening anyway. Let's just do this.
Yeah, I did enjoy the blatant, here's the teams that Anthony Davis would like to go to. The Lakers and the only three teams with less to offer than the Lakers.
Yeah, it's tough. Drew and Middleton could make a team of guys that NBA Twitter insists are way, way better than they are, and it can still only win like 28 games.
Know what the Pelicans really need? A unrestricted free agent as the centerpiece of their return.
Well, the thing with any Middleton deal is like he's not turning down a full max. Come on.
No, but he'd get it elsewhere. Half the league has
no. Max he would cap not, dude. Not close to a hometown max. I mean, he'd have to. A guy like Chris Middleton is not saying no to that kind of money. You know, like when we talk about these hometown maxes not working, it's normally for guys who are going to get two or three of those maxes in their career. Mm-hmm. Middleton's taking the money.
Nah, maybe.
But like, you don't really want to max Chris Middleton. It kind of stinks. Like, he's not good enough to deserve that. So
my thing is, I think there's just going to be so many teams. Well, that's the thing. One, the Pelicans aren't going to give him the max, like absolute most that he'd get. And there's just going to be so many teams that are going to strike out this summer. There's going to be money available for him. Like
I think someone will overpay, whether it's the Bucks or otherwise. But like, I think a full max would be pretty stunning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any other trade people you care about? Does Mike I actually got real disinterested in Mike Conley trades,
which is the perfect reason for him to go to the Jazz. Like,
yeah, because I don't. Yeah, I'm just not. I don't care.
Oh, do you have a Rudy Gobert take?
Oh, I do. It's so funny that we talked about them whining about Jazz fans whining, and then boy, did we miss the boat on the Jazz whining. Including the most humiliating proposal I've ever seen, which is Dennis Lindsay, Jazz GM, basically proposing a new selection system that takes it out of the coach's hands and evaluates players on a series of characteristics, including their character. Is that not the most Utah Jazz shit you've ever heard?
I really can't wait for Jimmer Fredette to be an all-star.
Oh, my God. Like, that. Talk about, a good family-oriented culture in Utah. It's outrageous. It is the whiniest shit I've ever heard. I think you actually have had the best take on the whole situation, which is, if they're that sorry for him, pay him the $1 million bonus. Nothing stops them, as far as I know. I know in the NFL they'll give bonuses based on incentives that didn't quite get matched.
Yeah, like I don't think it's like salary cap circumvention because it's written into his contract, and I don't think it affects what his cap hold is. So until I'm proven wrong, I'm going to say they're cowards for not doing it, and I'm going to say that
This pity party is just pathetic, dude.
Yeah, the whole pity party is basically being like, oh, I wish we had the opportunity to pay you, but we can't. You see this? They don't value.
I just think, like, if we're worried about the money, don't. And you think that, like, no one didn't know that All-Stars selection is stupid and arbitrary before they signed the contract with that as an incentive. Like, what are we doing here?
You know, like, the one thing,
I can't not win the lottery and be mad at the odds. Like, I know I'm buying into a game that doesn't make much sense for me.
If we're basing All-Star appearances on character, the one positive of that is we're getting Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye in the All-Star game, and I'm all about that.
My guys, love them forever.
I really found it funny, RJ being on the Le Batard show and talking about that clip where he was describing like the last minute of game 7, and he's like, I really didn't know they were going to use that clip, and it was really embarrassing for me as a professional how much I was swearing there. He's like, we're recording for like 2 hours, and I didn't know what clips they were going to use, and like I just kind of got caught up in the moment.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I love that guy forever.
RJ for head coach.
Yes, sir. My dear friend and mine.
So, anything else?
I got nothing left in the tank.
You got nothing left in the tank. You're like the Lakers after they trade whatever young assets they have. Well, I guess we should do a little bit of a promotion because we don't have any ad reads this week. So you guys can be all excited about that. I'm going to promote the Cleveland shows here. I'm going to promote Brown's Film Room with Jake Burns. And then also a shout out to the Rebuild with Jordan Zerm. It's not just us on the Blue Wire Network.
Yeah, it's a very heavy Cleveland podcast presence. Though I will say, if Kevin adds another Cavs podcast, we walk.
Yeah, no. We are too big of divas for that. I'm not putting up.
Yeah, this is our goddamn turf.
I'm excited for Thursday's show. I almost kind of like want to save some of my excitement and takes for after that happens. So I do think we are going to have plenty to talk about, and not just from a cast perspective, but I do think Kobe's going to be a little more active than we anticipate. I think there's going to be some sort of mystery trade outside of Alec Burks, just because the Cavs are a team that's always active. We're always pulling off just a little more than I expect.
Yeah, we're never boring, if nothing else.
Yeah, very, very true. All right, so I want to give a big thanks to our listeners. Remember, the best way to support the podcast is by subscribing. Leave a rating, leave a review. Tell your friends and family about it. Brown season is over. We're all you got. We're all you got.
For better or worse.
Yeah, you're stuck with us and until, like, I don't know, baseball season. Dude, what else is going on? Cleveland Monsters hockey.
That's come on, it. What are we doing here?
Exactly.
Bye, you're everybody.
All right, and on that very enthusiastic note, I want to give another thanks to our listeners. Thank you, Carter, for always keeping us on track. And until next time, go Cavs.
Go Caves. Go Caves.